It is the KSRO Good Food Hour. I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash, as we move from the KSRO greenhouse to the KSRO kitchen. Someone called on Garden Talk and said, I've been listening for 25 years to the show, and I've always wondered, what is the KSRO greenhouse? Do you actually broadcast the show from a greenhouse? And I said, I have to come clean. No, it's a virtual greenhouse. We thought it would give much more ambiance than to people realize we're sitting in a concrete stucco bunker with, surrounded by cables and broadcast hard hardscape. And so I said, so you mean you actually don't have a KSRO kitchen with John Ash? And I said, well, we have a kitchen here at the radio station, but it would not be one that would be outfitted by John Ash, no. But again, we're just setting a...
And that's the beauty of radio, is that you can use your imagination and, you know, kind of fill it in.
One of the beauties of radio is talking to one of the best chef educators in Sonoma County, and that's Mary Schiller. Good morning, Mary, and welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you two?
I'm doing very well. Chef John Ash is here. Hello, John.
Hello, Chef. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
And we also have Marcy Smothers with us. Do you know Marcy Smothers?
I know who she is. Hello, Marcy. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And I know who you are. So how are you?
We're doing great. We're actually out at the farmer's market looking around right now. So
we have you on because I just got some information from you that Maria Carrillo has just purchased a full-size food truck.
Well, actually, we didn't purchase it. The Santa Rosa City School District got a grant through our Career Technical Ed program, and I had this crazy idea because on the grant information it said we could get vehicles. And I said, well, if I'm going to get a vehicle, I want a food truck. And we thought this would never happen. And the wonderful lady that runs the Career Technical Ed office there, Deb Bettini, said, why don't we just try? So she wrote the grant.
Wait a minute. What's her name? What's her name? Deb Zucchini?
Deb Bettini.
No.
Debbie.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
All the work. That's okay. She did all the work on the grant to get it, and we have a beautiful, what we're going to call our mobile kitchen.
So how will you use it? I mean, obviously to train students, but will it actually go out on catering jobs and all of that? Is it available for people to contract with you?
Yes, starting in the next couple of weeks, we can use it. My program at Maria Carrillo, I have beginning culinary, advanced culinary, and a catering program. And we do about 40 events a year in our catering program. And so often when we go places, there's no kitchen. Mm-hmm. And we have to make it up as we go along. And so that was the idea behind the mobile kitchen. And the kids will get trained on a food truck, which is the hottest new thing around, and also learn the business side of the catering through this. So it's really a great career technical ed piece of equipment. And so we're so excited about it. It's going to be awesome.
Well, it's called Irrational. Is that the name of the company that made this food truck?
No, the food truck was made by California Food Trucks. It was the first one they ever did for a school. And then they got donated for us a piece of equipment. It's called a Rational Oven.
Oh.
And it's the newest thing in the culinary world. And they're all over Europe. They're made in Germany. And this little oven, I would love to come with the kids and all. You guys can cook on the truck with us and see this oven. But you can do everything. You can bake in it. You can broil in it. You can cook steaks in it. It looks like they came right off a barbecue with grill marks. You can bake bread in it. It's just the newest technology. It's all computerized. You can put presets in there, put your recipes in there, and it's just the most awesome piece of equipment. I'm learning how to use it.
And it even cleans itself at the end of the day.
It cleans itself at the end of the day. Everyone who cooks dream is the beautiful oven.
Yeah. So let's find out where we can see this in action. Now, there's an event coming up next week in Kenwood, which is a fundraiser. Wonderful, wonderful event. Your kids are going to be there. You're not sure whether the food truck will be ready yet, but your kids are going to be there. What are you going to be doing there?
Yes. The kids will be catering. We're going to have a gourmet burger bar and some salads and desserts. And that's one of the simplest menus we do. Since it's an outdoor event, they wanted it more like a picnic. And then the next time that they could see us for absolutely sure is going to be a fundraiser for the career technical ed programs all over Sonoma County through the CTE Foundation. And it's going to be at Lagunitas on October 10th.
And that's in Petaluma.
And we're going to be serving food. Yes, okay. We'll be serving food off the truck.
So if somebody, you know, down the road wants to hire you, hire the kids, hire the truck, they can do that, right? They just need to get a hold of you?
Yes, they can either call the Santa Rosa City School office or they can call Maria Carrillo High School and ask for Mary, ask for the culinary program. Piner will be using the truck, so if they know the teacher over at Piner or they know kids at Piner, they could ask about it. But they can always just call Carrillo. We have people calling Carrillo every day asking about catering. And so if they want to have a party at their house, if they want to have, a small wedding, we do very large things. But if they really want the food truck to drive up, now we can do that too.
Well, it's remarkable. I'm looking at the full color photo of the food truck, and it says here, please call or visit the district website to have our students cater your next event, 707.
Yes, and it has all the information there.
Yeah, 528-5472. Would that be one of the numbers to call, Mary?
That would work perfect.
Okay. Well, this is exciting. Well, we want to encourage people to check out the Kenwood fundraiser, which is happening next weekend. Is it next Saturday or Sunday, Mary?
Saturday.
It's next Saturday afternoon in downtown Greater Kenwood, which will be a lot of fun. And talk about growth.
Big town of Kenwood.
Yeah, talk about growth issues and all kinds of really important things that impact East County residents. And they'll get a chance to meet your culinary students. And also, it's included in the admission price, right? The food that you'll be providing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they hired us to do this, yes.
And is this possibly the only catering truck that belongs to a high school in the country?
We think it is because we've gone online and we've looked and looked, so I can't, say it for absolutely sure, but as far as we know, we have not found another food truck at any high school. We found them for lunch programs at schools, but not run by students.
Well, it's really cutting edge, and I can't think of a better teacher and group of students to run it through its paces than you and the students at Maria Carrillo. Mary Schiller, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, I'm going to try to stop by next week and check out the truck personally and give it a run through.
That would be awesome.
Well, and let him cook. Steve's already pretty good cook, you know?
Yeah.
You're my fried chicken guru, Steve Garner.
We'll get Marcy some others over there, too. Yeah. Thanks so much, Mary.
Anybody. All right. Well, thank you, too. Have a great day.
All right. You heard the name Marcy Smothers. We're going to go to Disneyland after this break.
Sonoma County's local news, weather, and traffic station. FM News Talk, KSRO, 103.5, 94.5.
Whatever you're looking for, it's likely you can find it in downtown Santa Rosa. And that includes satisfying your hunger, whether it's yours or your pet's.
Hi, this is Lee from Miso Good Ramen, located right at the corner of B and 4th Street. We offer a variety of Japanese ramen noodle soups, new style sashimi, and some creative sushi rolls. We open late nights on Friday and Saturday. We hope to see you soon.
Hey, this is Trevor at Western Farm Center. We've been supplying Sonoma County's pet and animal needs from food and toys to feed and hay for 50 years. We're at 21 West 7th Street, one block north of Railroad Square. Come on down and see everything that we have to offer.
One of the things I really like about working in downtown Santa Rosa is walking my dog and seeing the same neighbors every day. That definitely makes me feel like I'm part of a community.
Whether you're shopping for yourself, your little loved one, or just getting some exercise, downtown Santa Rosa has so much to offer. See more and learn more at srcity.org/downtown.
Smiling was always tough for me, even at my happiest moments, because of my smile. I never knew about cosmetic dentistry, but now my smile is perfect. Thank you, Dr. Sean Wilson.
I know having a beautiful smile makes everyone feel great. Unfortunately, even if you were born with perfect teeth, they may not be so perfect now. Gaps, fillings, stains, chipped, and discolored teeth can all affect appearance, self-confidence, and quality of life. From tooth whitening to implants, my passion is creating your unique and amazing smile that can even make you look younger.
There is only one dentist that's been voted Sonoma County's best dentist 6 years in a row. there's a reason why. Get the smile you've always wanted. Tell your smartphone to call Dr. Sean Wilson, DDS, and schedule your appointment today.
Calling Dr. Sean Wilson, DDS.
For many businesses, hiring is tough. You want access to highly qualified candidates fast, and you don't want to sign a long-term contract or pay upfront fees. That's why you need Indeed.com, delivering six times more hires than any other job site, according to independent research. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
General Dynamics in Healdsburg is growing fast in 2017. They're looking for their next round of manufacturing technicians, engineers, and more. Come join a dynamic, leading-edge technology company that plays a critical role in the defense of our nation. Visit gdcareers.com to get the inside scoop on what they're all about and their current job openings. General Dynamics is eagerly searching for clever, energetic, and adventurous individuals to join their workforce. Your career begins at General Dynamics in Healdsburg. Info at gdcareers.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Mickey and I started out the first time many, many years ago. We've had a lot of our dreams come true. Now we want you to share with us our latest and greatest dream. That's it, right here. Disneyland. Seen from about 2,000 feet in the air and 10 months away. I want to tell you about it because later on in the show, you'll find that Disneyland the place and Disneyland the TV show are all part of the same. Now, on a site of 240 acres near the city of Anaheim in Southern California, right about in here, we've begun to build Disneyland the place. We hope that it will be unlike anything else on this earth. A fair, amusement park, an exhibition, a city from the Arabian Nights, metropolis from the future. In fact, a place of hopes and dreams, facts and fancy, all in one. Now, next year, our television show will be coming from this Disneyland. But this year, we want you to see and share with us the experience of building this dream into a reality.
In the KSRO studio this morning is our numero uno mousketeer. Marcy
and
Smothers.
And you are, aren't you?
I think I share that with millions and millions and millions of other fans. Yeah. But
it's so nice for you to come in this morning.
Well, thank you for having me. Number one, I'm crying to hear Walt's voice. Thank you for playing that.
Well, and to celebrate the release of your new book, Eat Like Walt, The Wonderful World of Disney Food, this is truly a one-of-a-kind book. Is it just coming out this week?
It comes out on Tuesday, September 19th.
Mm. So we're anticipating the release of the book on Tuesday.
We are anticipating it, and there would be no where honestly I want to be than with you guys at the Good Food Hour, because I'm all about Sonoma County, and I'm sort of breathless a little bit after hearing Walt's voice, to be honest. But yes, it comes out on the 19th, and you're my first official interview, and thrilled to be here.
Fantastic. So how did this begin? What was the genesis of doing this? I mean, it's such a great idea, and why someone hasn't done it before, I don't know.
Well, I wanted to write a book about the food of Disneyland because I love Disneyland, and Disneyland is my favorite place on earth. And so I set out to do that, and my agent, who's brilliant, and I thank him for this, he said, Marcy, you have to be really careful because there's so many bloggers, and respectfully, putting out information immediately. What are you going to do differently that's going to be the hook? And so I started doing my research, and I had this idea that Walt intended for the food to be as immersive and entertaining an experience as the attractions. Now, at amusement parks, they're called rides. At theme parks, they're called attractions. And so that was what I set out to do to be different. And I went on a website called Scribd, which is interesting because it's only what people upload to it. Of course, there's not a lot, in Walt's era, not everything's on the internet anymore, obviously. And I found this insert from the Independent Press Telegram where Walt said, "Welcome to the Kingdom of Good Eating, where the food is as fabulous as the fun." And I still get goosebumps when I say it. I knew I had a book. I had proof of concept. And from there, I started my research.
It's remarkable. And how quickly did the Disney PR and management team buy into this idea?
Oh, it took me 6 months to write the proposal because there's not a lot of information. There's a lot of inaccuracies, urban legends that are out there, of course. So I had two great people help me. Tom Fitzgerald, who lives here part-time and one of the top Imagineers. He has a home in Glen Ellen. And my friend Kathy Mangum, who is one of the head Imagineers at Walt Disney World. I would just start sending them pages. Does this sound right? You know, from the Imagineer perspective. And they're pretty educated. And ultimately, I got it to the head of Disney, Andrew Sugarman, to publishing. And he basically tossed me over to his editor, Wendy Lefcon, whom I have a fabulous working relationship with, and I had to go sell her. So my thing was, I said to my agent, I'll come to New York, but not for a Mercy meeting. I'm done with Mercy meetings. We've all had them, you know, like, nice to see you, you know. And so I walked in and she said, I'm sold. You know, and she just, from the very beginning, I walked into my agent's office, she really embraced the idea. However, the caveat was the sales team had to sign off on it, because we can have the best ideas in the world, but if the sales team doesn't think they can sell it, they're not going to go to the trouble and expense.
So the book is full of, I mean, it's full of wonderful content, which we'll get into, but it's full of the most amazing pictures, pictures that none of us have ever seen before. How did you get your hands on those?
Well, I you know, once I had the deal with Disney, which I could only have done it with Disney, then I had access to the four archives, the Walt Disney Archives, the Photo Archives, the Imagineering Archives, and the Art Library Archives. So a lot of my research was in the 50,000 words, but another whole set of the research were in the images. And as I went along, I found that, you know, making friends, quite frankly, with all the different archivists. And every once in a while, they would send, boom, look what I just found. I've never been seen before. So I had tremendous support from everyone in all the archivists. And 90% of these images have never been seen in the world.
Where did you write this book?
Well, that's a good question. A lot at Disneyland. I went to Disneyland a lot. I wrote for my audience, with my audience. I liked to be among my people and Walt's people and feel that energy. And I call them my offices. I'd either sit on Main Street USA with my laptop, or on Walt's trainer lot, or in Fantasyland, wherever I was writing the Golden Horseshoe. And I would sit there and I wrote. And if not, I was at Acre Coffee in Santa Montgomery Village, and for a while at Franchetti's. And the Franchetti story is hysterical, because I'm sitting there and I listen to exclusively Disney music when I'm writing. It's either the Disneyland music or Mary Poppins, or, you know, soundtrack, which I worship, as did Walt. Disney radio on Pandora. Anyway, I always have my earphones in and I'm working, and all of a sudden I look up and there's like 30 employees, and there's a projector, and they're talking about their health plan options. I look up, is this a meeting? Yeah, we've been closed since 2.
That's funny.
So were you a Disney kid?
I grew up in Southern California, and going to Disneyland was always my favorite day of the year. And my grandfather took us and spend the night with my grandparents, lay out my clothes the day before, drive in his Volvo down the 405. And my best memories of my childhood are Disneyland memories. And as an adult, I feel excited. It never ends for me. And I've been to Disneyland maybe 80 or 100 days last year. Every time I walk in the park and I see that giant floral Mickey, and I go under the railroad tunnel and see Town Square and the castle and Main Street USA, I'm home. And that's something that you hear a lot from the Disney enthusiasts. You'll always hear that, I'm home. Because what Walt had intended, exactly that, a safe place where families could enjoy each other together. So this is how I feel about it.
Do you know what's really fascinating about this book? It really also talks about a time in American food when it was real different than it is now. And Walt really kind of reflected that. There was a quote, I can't remember who said it, that he had a hash house lunch wagon kind of appetite. I mean, he was not a fancy food. I mean, he knew what he liked and he ate it every day.
And he ate it often. Yeah, that quote was from his daughter, Diane Disney Miller. Yeah.
Which I just loved. But that was also what was going on in America back in the 40s and 50s was... I mean, it's hard to believe now because people have become such foodies and all of that stuff.
Yeah. But, I mean, mid-century American food was, you know, boiled over. You know, as we talk about that was even before Julia Child came in and kind of turned around what home cooks were doing. And Walt did like extremely simple foods because he was raised with not a lot of money, and that's what he ate. And he was, as one of my favorite quotes was from his son-in-law, Walt ate like a human being. Why, you know, he said, I don't know why people want to attribute all these grand things to this grand man. He liked hamburgers. Mm-hmm. In fact, he went to a meeting with Westinghouse for Walt Disney World, and they served him lobster salad. And as soon as he got out of the meeting room, he turned to his crew and he said, wasn't that a horrible lunch? Let's go get milkshakes and burgers, you know?
It seemed like Walt had a serious Jones on for chili.
He did. That was, well, you know, it's interesting because, Steve, you know, now I guess I have been given the title of historian, which is amazing, and this little slice of pie, pun intended. It's what was written about the most, but I don't think that necessarily makes it his most favorite food. It's just there's so little written about him in food. I mean, it took me 2 years to find this stuff. Chili seemed to come up, and it definitely was one of his favorite foods, and he ate it in the commissary all the time, and he would put the saltines, extra saltines, in his pocket, and it used to drive his wife Lillian crazy because whenever they went to the dry cleaners, she had to shake out his, you know, really nice, he had great taste in clothes, so really beautiful sports coats, you know, with all these saltine crumbs. So yes, he loved it, but I think he did, there's other foods.
Well, wasn't the other one, which seems to dominate it, and it's all the way through here, is coffee.
Oh, coffee, ubiquitous. He was determined that at Disneyland that coffee would never be more than a dime, and it never was till years and years after he passed away. But in doing the research, I thought it was going to be a time capsule of Walt's life at Disneyland. But once I got into the archives, it became a much bigger book. And it's an entire chapter about Walt at home and an entire chapter of Walt at the studio. And the studio chapter talks about, and this is true, when Walt had coffee, you came into his office, you had coffee. Doesn't matter if you didn't want it, you had coffee. And if you didn't finish it, don't be wasteful. You took it to go. You know, so he was, and that is one of my favorite images of the book, opposite the title page in color of Walt at the studio with his black coffee. And because when I started out the research, of course, the first thing I say to the archivist is, can you show me anything with food? And there's just so little. And Mike Buckoff, who was a tremendous asset to me, I'll never forget when he emailed to me late in the game. He said, I cannot believe I've never seen this before. And I still look at that. I get goosebumps when I look at that photo.
It's absolutely remarkable. And Walt, even in the 1930s, was a well-known entity and was asked to contribute a recipe to Better Homes and Gardens, I learned in the book.
Yeah, that was something that I truly also in research stumbled upon. It was called Macaroni Mickey Mousse, okay? M-O-U-S-S-E. Now, that's not entirely unknown. There are other food bloggers that have written about it, but here's the thing. They keep saying it's a typo. And I'm like, no, it's not a typo. A mousse can be a molded casserole. And so essentially, this recipe, which I've made, and I, you know, all the recipes in the book are vintage to Walt Disney and his era exclusively. They've all been tested either by me and my recipe tester. Some of those, there's one recipe we did 40 batches of. But this particular one, you just break pasta then. That would have been spaghetti. And, you know, add all this cheese and breadcrumbs and you bake it in a mold. And that is what Walt would eat with maybe some bacon added to it.
There are loads of recipes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of recipes. And again, all...
But a picture of America, again, at a different time.
Yeah. He was very famous, by the way, because once Mickey Mouse made him famous, by the time he was 30, he was, you know, famous around the world.
Marcy Smothers is a noted personality. I didn't know this.
That's what Disney writes. Yeah. I don't write that stuff.
It says, in the Northern California world of food and wine, she's hosted several radio programs. Those of you who have listened to KSRO for years know her as an outstanding talk show host. She also included in her resume the food Guy and Marcy's show with the Food Network Guy Fieri. Her love of all things Disney and especially Disneyland inspired her to delve into Walt Disney's world of food. She previously authored Snacks, Adventures in Food, Aisle by Aisle. She's joining Chef John Ash and me, Steve Garner, in the KSRO kitchen.
FM News Talk Radio, North County 103.5, South County 94.5, KSRO.
Earnings vary based on your effort.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in the North Bay Area? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the North Bay Area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. The North Bay Area is a perfect market for my system, and next week I'm holding a free 2-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get 2 free tickets to Than's workshop, call 1-800-700-6211. Seating is extremely limited. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also reserve a free copy of Than's Money for Deals guide. That's 1-800-700-6211. That's 1-800-700-6211.
There's a name that's synonymous with worry-free windows, and that name is Milgard. For over 40 years, Milgard has been building windows that have enhanced the look and value of homes just like yours, using only quality materials to create award-winning vinyl replacement windows. And they back all their windows up by a lifetime guarantee. Plus, unlike other big window companies, all of their windows are made locally and serviced locally. With all of these advantages, it's no wonder Milgard has been named the nation's best quality vinyl window by Builder Magazine an unprecedented 6 times. Improve the look of your home with Milgard replacement windows. Call DJ Sash and Glass today. Add a touch of class to your glass with DJ Sash and Glass, 2985 Wilgen Court. Call 546-7344, online at djsglass.com. That's 546-7344. DJ Sash and Glass.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market is bursting with wonderfully fresh local fruits and vegetables from your favorite farmers and ranchers. There's an abundance and wide variety of heirloom tomatoes, early girls, beefsteak, sun golds, and more. Don't miss this year's peaches, nectarines, pears, and apples. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market has artisan foods ranging from fabulous bread, olive oils, balsamic vinegar, marinades, and tea blends to hummus and handmade pastas. Browse the artisan area for handcrafted gifts. Start your day with friends at the market. They're here to greet you year-round, rain or shine, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun. The market's Tomato Fest and Salsa Contest is Saturday, September 16th.
On high alert, the terror threat level raised to critical after an explosion went off Friday at a London train station, injuring at least 30 people. Cressida Dick is commissioner of the Metropolitan Police in London.
That means that we've taken a whole series of measures in London, where I've been today and yesterday. We have more police on the streets, we have more unarmed police, and we have more armed police.
Police arrested a man earlier today in the port of Dover and searched a home related to the case. In St. Louis, police say they arrested 32 people after protests turned violent overnight following the acquittal of white police officer Jason Stockley in the 2011 shooting death of black suspect Anthony Lamar Smith. They're bracing for more protests tonight, the unrest causing rockers U2 to cancel their St. Louis concert scheduled for tonight. Hurricane season ramping up. Tropical Storm Lee has formed. Hurricane Jose threatening the U.S. coast later this week, and Tropical Storm Norma in Mexico. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Mostly sunny skies for your weekend. Today, partly cloudy at 81, 69 on the coast. Clear skies tonight, low 51, 54 on the shores. Blue skies for Sunday at 83, 70 in Bodega Bay. Monday, sunny skies at 77, 67 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
Hot dog! Hot dog! Hot dog! Hot dog!
Hot dogs, that must have some special interest to you, Marcy Smothers, who wrote the book Eat Like Walt.
Well, it was probably one of Walt's favorite foods, but also, you know, in doing the research for this book, you know, I'm trying to find any angle about food. There's so little written. I mean, the archives has very, very little about that. And so when I'm researching Mickey Mouse, I'm like, you are kidding me. Mickey Mouse's first words were hot dog, hot dog. Mm. And it was voiced by Walt himself.
And that was the original from the original cartoon in 1929.
Carnival Kid, the Carnival Kid. And so every time I would see something like that, that told me I was on the right track. Mm-hmm. You know, that there's going to be enough of these type of, somehow through the lens of food stories in Walt Disney, that I could write an entire book about. And that's one of my favorite ones.
So one of the things you talk about in the book were sort of the early days, which I didn't know, that it wasn't always an easy road for Walt. We tend to think that he was just so successful and that he was always successful. But it was a tough go.
Yeah, I mean, he was born in Chicago, had a very stern father, but a loving mother, and, you know, brothers and sisters who took care of each other. And then his happiest point of his life, of course, was Marceline, Missouri. And he was only there for about 4 years, but it shaped him in the sense that his time was quiet. That's where he really started drawing. There was a farmer that he did a few sketches for who paid him a penny for him, and that inspired him that maybe he could actually make a living. And it represents what his sense of America was. And he says, the best days of my life were in Marceline, Missouri, although it was only 4 years. Now, Main Street USA is an homage to Marceline, but it is not Marceline, which is something that a lot of people confuse. It's not supposed to look like Marceline. It's just supposed to embody his memories of Marceline, but with all of his artists and designers and Imagineer, also what any town USA would be like.
Well, we heard Walt and Mickey singing hot dogs, and John, you want to talk?
Oh, it was just, there was another, there's a wonderful picture in the book about that, but you which I thought was brilliant, that where the trash cans were located at Disneyland were the estimate of how long it would take to eat one hot dog, and so then there would be a trash can so that people wouldn't throw their trash on the
absolutely true. And in this image, I mean, there's so many I could talk about why I love them, but in this image, Walt is picking up trash, you mm-hmm. know, and he's keeping his Disneyland pristine with the trash cans that are ubiquitous at Disneyland and now Walt Disney World everywhere, with the swinging door. He helped invent those with an engineering company because he didn't want guests to lift the lid of the round trash cans and see garbage underneath it.
He didn't leave one thing
details,
unthought about.
Stories and details, stories and details.
Well, and all through this, you're talking about how he, in his various offices, and I guess he had offices tucked away in various parts of the park, that he was always working until very late at night and thinking about the next thing. And
he loved it. Yeah.
I loved the fact of how he would want to blend in with the crowd, sit in a corner and have a cup of coffee or a donut and just watch the people.
Yeah.
He was not in the executive lunchroom.
No, not at Disneyland he wasn't. In the studio chapter, there is a story about why the Coral Room, eventually he did need an executive lunchroom because it was getting just not time efficient for him to wait in line in the commissary like he did for years and years. And by the way, going backwards for a second, you know, he never set out to become a restaurateur, but by 1940, he's 39 years old, when the state-of-the-art studio opened in Burbank, he had 4 restaurants, and they were all subsidized, like we think of Google and Pixar and Facebook now. He was so far ahead of his time. But yes, when it came to Disneyland, he would spend as much time as possible there. And one of the restaurants, Carnation Cafe, I have a story where they were specifically instructed not to disturb him. And, you know, not that people would, because he liked to be called Walt. He had the first name basis, but he did like to watch. And he would also sit in the morning before the park opened with a notebook and just watch, you know, move around the park and to see how efficiently they were getting ready for the guests that day.
I know you had access to family members. How important was Roy?
Oh, Roy. Yeah, I mean, that there's no Walt Disney Studios without Roy Disney. It used to be the Disney Brothers Studios, and then at one point it switched over when they opened in Burbank to the Walt Disney Studios, and Roy was completely fine with that because his brother was a visionary and he was the financier.
So, but they, without one, there wouldn't
not be
the other.
And a very close working relationship. I just chose to make this a mid-century time capsule of Walt's life. You know, I could have gone, in fact, it was my friend John Lasser that actually, we talked about it. He's, because I could go out and out and out and out and talk more about what's happened since then. But once I locked my mind on, this is my tribute to Walt, you know, I'm trying to show a legacy in a different view in his lifetime, then it became very simple to proceed.
And this is about Disneyland. It's not about Disney World, which was a chapter that came later that he didn't have much to do with, did he?
Well, a lot of good first things first, we do call it Walt Disney World correctly. And now, and it was Roy that insisted on that, because at some point, long after Walt passed away, marketing department at Walt Disney World said, hey, you know, let's just switch to Disney World because that's what everybody calls it. And Roy said, there is no way in my lifetime it'll ever be called Disney World, because without Walt, there wouldn't be a Walt Disney World. So Walt started thinking about Walt Disney World that we know about 1965. It was called Project X. He died in December 66. And he was part of the group that bought the land under, you know, trusts in Florida and Orlando. And he did walk the land, but he never lived to see it open at all. But it's interesting how all of his Imagineers, his artists, his designers could carry on his vision without him. He had trained them so well about the Walt Disney way, they knew how to execute.
It was just remarkable. Let's look into the book. Do you know how many photos there are in this book? Do you have any?
Well, I have to give a shout out. I don't. And that's a really good fun fact. So there is, Disney assigned me a company here in Petaluma to design the book. They're called Cameron and Company, and they're rock stars. And so my book designer's name is Ian Morris, and the owner of the company is Chris. Small boutique book company. I love what their tagline is for books that need to be books, but they also just do parts of the process, including the designing. So Ian Morris, who was brought from London by George Lucas to design some of his books, designed this book. And he gets all the credit for the look and feel of it. The only words I said to him is mid-century masculine, because Walt was a very masculine guy. I know. People say, like, where'd you come up with that? That's, but yeah, exquisite. So I don't know how many. The thing that's interesting is at some point, you don't know when you're writing, you're in isolation. I'm very disciplined. I have to be 6 days a week. And I was sending him stuff and he would say, do you have any idea how much this is costing Disney to make this book? And I'm like, no. And he said, because each image, once we select it, it's thousands and thousands of dollars to scan an image. Oh. But it shows that they were behind me. And that's when I knew that they were behind me. When Ian told me that, I'm like, they must like the book. Because, you can get cut off at your knees and be told you can have.
Some of the most spectacularly evocative photography I've ever seen in a book.
Oh, my gosh.
Well,
thank you.
And behind the scenes, I mean, there are all of these. I mean, Walt, he looked like a kindly grandfather or great uncle or something like that. Just the sweetest guy, which was true.
I mean, absolutely, which was true. Which I don't try to deify him. I mean, obviously, Walt's my person, and I love him dearly. But he was a tremendous family man. And, this is more, Disneyland probably would be a different environment than the Walt Disney Studios and running an animation and then live action company. But that's not this book. But one of his artists, Herb Ryman, who famously drew the concept map for Disneyland with Walt in 24 hours so that Roy would have it ready on Monday to sell the financiers and the bankers on the money. Herb Ryman, I was thinking this, but when I read this interview with another person, it defined what my goal was. It's for people like yourself to have the privilege and the duty to present Walt as a human being and a person that can be known, someone you can be close to. And I had that everywhere in my refrigerator, in my office. I took it with me to Acre because that's how I want to present Walt as a human being. And food is an everyday thing. It's very intimate and it's very human.
Marcy Smothers is a Sonoma County resident. That's why we get first shot at her.
I love you guys. It's more than that.
The new book, which is not out yet, it's called Eat Like Walt, The Wonderful World of Disney Food. It will be officially released this coming Tuesday. If you're a Disneyland fanatic, aficionado, if you ever went to Disneyland as a kid or your grandparents took you, you'll want this book. It's just full of emotional rapport. It's 11 chapters, and you visit each one of the theme parks, basically, is how you do it. And there's restaurant lore in each of the different theme parks. We look at Walt at home, then Walt at the studio. Then we get into Main Street, then to Adventureland, Frontierland, Fantasyland, Tomorrowland, the New Orleans Square. And then we talk about two characters, Oscar and Indian, that worked at Disneyland forever. And one of them, I think, is still there?
Yeah, Oscar is still there. He's the longest employee of Disneyland. He started in 1956.
And he never met Walt. Is that right?
He never met Walt because he was at the Carnation Cafe and you weren't supposed to approach him. But he observed Walt. And he is the number one most requested interview at Disneyland.
And there's a chapter.
Yeah, and I love him. Yeah, and he's you couldn't have it. But what's so interesting is there's two stories about Oscar that the Disney company, Walt Disney Company, Parks Company, puts out the same couple things, I actually went, every time I would go to Disneyland, I would wait for Oscar, almost Oscar stalker. Truth. And because he would come from, and I would say, tell me about this, tell me about that. And little by little, he would tell me stories. So this is like 2 years of getting a tidbit. And it's all tied together to be, I think, a fantastic history and a legacy for Oscar, who deserves it.
And has Oscar performed the same job for the last 60 years or so?
Well, he did. He came in 1956 and he worked in Tomorrowland, flipping hamburgers and doing basic stuff. But then once he got to Carnation Cafe, he was the cook. And now really he's just the ambassador. When he shows up, he's in his mid to late 80s. He waves and greets people, still sharp as a tack.
And I love Indian, who was the other amazing person. Went on to become the executive chef of the whole thing.
Of the whole thing. And he was like, he was never really even learned to cook. He was in the internment camps. He was raised in Hawaii. And then he opens a Jewish restaurant in Chicago. But somehow the Japanese guy gets to Disneyland. And the story about Indian that's so interesting is his name is Indian because he used to play for the Cleveland Indians. For the B team, AAA team. And Walt was walking around and he heard people say, hey, Indian. And Walt turned to him and says, why are they calling you Indian? And goes, that's my name. Then why don't you have it on the name tag? His name was Hideo, but you weren't allowed to have nicknames on your name tag. So that was one of it may be the exception that Walt let somebody use a nickname and not their real name on the name tag. Here's the dealio. I had three archivists and the archivist emeritus, Dave Smith, go over this book. Unless you know it imperatively, I couldn't put it in. I have to say, I believe this is what, you know, this is what I think. It's rumored. So I couldn't say it's the only time, but it may be.
I love Frontierland with these photos of Aunt Jemima's pancake house.
Gosh, I know.
That was pretty wild. And then the Casa de Fritos.
The part of that was really great about that was kind of the creation of Frito-Lay as a company. And Doritos.
Doritos were invented at Disneyland, for sure. Yeah.
And Don DeVore's Silver Banjo Barbecue, really kind of, those that are old TV aficionados know the name Dan DeVore. He worked, he was a character actor.
Yeah, Hazel and...
He was Mr. B, Hazel's boss. Yeah. And he was also, was it, not My Three Sons, he was Ozzie and Harriet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thorny, the neighbor.
The neighbor.
So yeah. And he was the only restaurant Walt ever let have at Disneyland that didn't have Walt's name or one of Walt's characters. So the Don DeVore Silver Banjo Barbecue. And his sons are still alive. We talked about, there's a lot of stories about, fascinating about the sauce, because he wanted barbecue sauce. He used to buy it from Love's. And then he tried to figure out how to make it. Anyway, the two brothers went back and recreated their mother's recipe. It took them like 3 weeks. They gave it to me an exclusive. They have their own deal. They never published it, just so that it could be an Eat Like Walt. And these are the levels of the relationships and the passion that people share for Walt Disney.
Do you know what my favorite photo is? Do you have a favorite photo in this entire book? I have one.
Do you? I have several. I don't know if I have a favorite.
Mine, hands down, is the Richard Nixon photo.
Oh, that's
the best
story.
I was just going to say, you have to tell that story.
Oh, that's my favorite story. How many times have I said that's my favorite today?
Well, wait on that. Wait for the Richard Nixon story. That coming up next. Marcy's Mother's in the KS Arto Kitchen with Chef John Ash and me, Steve Garner. Her new book, Eat Like Walt, The Wonderful World of Disney Food. It will be published on Tuesday. But if you're listening to this program, guess what? One of you is going to win an autographed copy of this book today.
Bennett Valley hears FM News Talk Radio, KSRO, on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5.
Earnings vary based on your effort.
Do you want to learn how to make money flipping houses right here in the North Bay Area? If so, we have an amazing opportunity for you. We're looking for a small group of motivated individuals to join our real estate investing team. You'll learn our simple three-step system for flipping homes right here in the local area. This is Than Merrill, star of A&E's hit TV show Flip This House. My team and I are looking for a handful of people in the North Bay Area who want to learn how to make money flipping houses in your spare time using other people's money. The North Bay Area is a perfect market for my system, and next week I'm holding a free 2-hour educational workshop where you will learn how to make money flipping homes and how to build long-term wealth with income properties.
To get 2 free tickets to Than's workshop, call 1-800-762-11. Seating is extremely limited. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also reserve a free copy of Than's Money for Deals guide. That's 1-800-762-11. That's 1-800-762-11.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market is bursting with wonderfully fresh local fruits and vegetables from your favorite farmers and ranchers. There's an abundance and wide variety of heirloom tomatoes, early girls, beefsteak, sun golds, and more. Don't miss this year's peaches, nectarines, pears, and apples. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market has artisan foods ranging from fabulous bread, olive oils, balsamic vinegar, marinades, and tea blends to hummus and handmade pastas. Browse the artisan area for handcrafted gifts. Start your day with friends at the market. They're here to greet you year-round, rain or shine, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun. The market's Tomato Fest and Salsa Contest is Saturday, September 16th.
Hi, Jeff Davis here of On the Wine Road. And recently, the 2017 Volvo S90 T6 inscription sedan I'm driving from Smothers European Volvo carried us on an extended tour on the wine road as we made our way to Mendocino for the Wine Song event. Now, I like the coupe I normally drive and my wife's SUV, but they, of course, don't compare to the luxurious ride of the Volvo S90 T6. Yes, the exterior styling is eye-catching, but as we made our way through the winding curves of Highway 128 leading into Anderson Valley and Highway 1 along the coast, I really came to appreciate Volvo's intelligent all-wheel drive system, which provides plenty of traction. And when passing large campers was necessary, the supercharged and turbocharged 8-speed all-wheel drive made passing effortless.
and more importantly, kept my wife calm. Test drive one yourself at Smothers European Volvo, 2881 Corby Avenue and smothers-european-volvo.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Forever let us hold our banner high, 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 high. Come along and sing the song and join the jamboree.
M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E.
Marcy Smothers joining Chef John Ash and me in the KSRO kitchen, celebrating the upcoming release of her new book, Eat Like Walt, The Wonderful World of Disney Food. How in the world did Walt get Richard Nixon and the family involved in Disneyland?
I'm going to tell you that, but first may I give a shout out to Copperfields, because I'll be at Copperfields in Montgomery Village 7 p.m. on the 19th for the big book launch. And they're always my partners because I love Copperfields and support independent
bookstores. This coming Tuesday,
7 o'clock, Montgomery Village. Okay. I'll be there.
People can get signed copies of the book?
Yes, and I'm going to bring Walt's favorite cookie with me. But I'm making
and a hot dog.
Yeah. No, that's another story, the cookie. But to answer your question, so as I said, every single person, no exceptions in my book, knew Walt Disney. So many of the Disney histories, I knew somebody that knew somebody or my father told me. So one of the Imagineers, his name's Tony Baxter. Now, he only met Walt a few times, but he knew him. And Tony's responsible for Indiana Jones, Star Tours, Splash Mountain, et cetera, et cetera. So I call my intern, this gentleman that worked with Walt since 1957, made the introduction to Tony Baxter. And he wrote back to me and he said, "What is there possibly left to write about Walt Disney?" Boom. I mean, that's how it read. Like, yikes. And I said, "Well, this one happens to be through the lens of food." He wrote back immediately and he said, quote, "I have the best unknown food story that leads to the most iconic photograph of Disneyland ever." And he met with me. And the short version is that Walt was, when he was remodeling Tomorrowland in the 60s, building his monorail, he would go up to Knott's Berry Farm where his friend Bud Hurlbut was building the mine train. And that budget was like $1 million. That was a lot of money then. And Bud would take him out to lunch. But they were running out of places because he got recognized and he was disturbed. So eventually their net got out to Whittier at a restaurant called Don Nixon's. And again, the story, the quote there about how Walt was eating, you know, taking his bread and mopping up every side and, you know, just devouring the bean soup and putting the bowl back on the, you know, that's the way he was. So when we went back the next time, he said to Don Nixon, "Hey, I want to talk about your soup." That was his guys. And then he says, "It's really good. I like it. Hey, do you think you could get your brother, the vice president, to open up my monorail?"
And so Don Nixon is Richard Nixon's brother and owns a restaurant in Whittier, California.
Two restaurants in Whittier, California. Right. And that is how he did it. And so I found the letter that Walt wrote to Richard Nixon. And so
In the book.
It's in the book. And so when I sent that to Ian, my designer, you know, he lays it in there and he goes, "I need the high res copy." I hadn't thought about this. The archives may have a copy of it, but Walt Disney sent it to Richard Nixon. So we don't have the original at the Walt Disney Archives. So this sends me, as you get to the book and you're running out of time, like my chase. And I called the Richard Nixon Museum. And they were very cooperative. I couldn't believe it. They gave it to me in an instant. They said, I think they're so happy someone had something nice to say about the guy. But yeah, so it just, and then you'll see the photo of Richard Nixon, Walt, and Nixon's two kids, daughters, opening the monorail.
And poor Pat. Yeah. You can barely see her.
Yeah, I can't see her. And then those scissors didn't work. They were show scissors. And so the girls were trying to chop through it. And so Walt, just famously being the showman, went pop, broke off the ribbon, and it was open.
It is just the most spectacular photo. It stops you in your tracks. It's a beautiful photo. We'll come back. You need to be thinking, Marcy, during this break, your favorite number today between 1 and 15.
Oh, that's so easy. I've got it.
You already have it?
Yeah, it's also Walt Disney's favorite number.
Well, don't tell us that. Keep us in suspense.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Weather every 10 minutes mornings. Every 30 minutes all the time. On FM News Talk Radio. 103.5 FM and 94.5 FM. KSRO.
Time to tune up your heating and cooling system for just $49. Did you know that gas inside your heater burns at almost 2,000 degrees? And your air conditioner has high voltage electricity running through it? Hi, it's Paul Bigham with 1 Hour Heating and Air. With 26 years in business, I've noticed two ways of thinking. Those that think a system tune-up is simply changing a filter, and those who really don't know it's necessary and put it off. Well, at 1 hour, changing a filter, adjusting gas pressure, and tightening electrical connections are just part of a tune-up. For the procrastinators out there, you end up replacing units twice as often while living with inefficient and sometimes unsafe systems. My tune-up will help keep you safe, utility bills low, and extend the life of your heating and cooling system, all to the tune of only $49. 1 hour heating and air. Call 844-5-TUNE-UP. That's 844-5-TUNE-UP. Or log on to 844-5-TUNE-UP.com.
Hey, Sonoma County, this is George Adair with Bay Equity Home Loans and host of On Air with George Adair on KSRO. Over the last few years, did you purchase a home with FHA financing or some other mortgage insurance financing? If so, I've got an idea for you that may help you save hundreds every month. Over the past couple of years, average home values have increased dramatically. So call Bay Equity Home Loans at 583-8100 and see if you qualify for a new loan to get rid of your mortgage insurance. Call 583-8100 and we'll complete a free and no obligation home valuation. If you have the right equity and you can qualify, we'll show you how to get rid of your mortgage insurance forever. So call Bay Equity at 583-8100 or online at bayequityloans.com. And remember to tune in to On Air with George Adair every Wednesday at 12 o'clock.
Equal housing lender subject to credit approval. NMLS ID 76988. The transaction will be made pursuant to the Department of Business Oversight California Finance Lender Law and or California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. NMLS ID 245370.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Come along and sing our song and join our family. M-I-C.
Why? Because we love Marcy. Okay, so we've got two stories, only two stories, time for two stories. First, tell the story about the cover of this book.
The cover of the book has not been allowed by anybody to over 40 years to be used, and it's believed to have been the last photograph taken of Walt at Disneyland. And so when I was in the photo archives, I kind of earmarked that one because I wrote my dedication to that image of Walt the Mouse. He didn't call him Mickey Mouse. Walt the Mouse, the castle, and his beloved fire engine. And so when it came time to lay out the book and I was requesting photographs, I said to my friend Mike in the archives, I'd like that one. He goes, oh, sorry, that's red tagged. We can't use that. A gentleman that, you know, he's not been cooperative with the company before, and I won't name his name. So I wrote to my editor and I said, I've asked for nothing, but I need this image. And so short version is she waited 2 weeks. This person never called her back. And she said, we're running out of time. I look on his website. I call him. He picks up first time. What do you want, kid? And I went, call me back in 15 minutes. I'm sure he's not going to call me back. You could just, he's not. Yeah. So I type the letter to end all letters or email with this image attached to it. And I wait to see, because if he doesn't answer in 15 minutes, I'm going to send the email. He picks up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I don't see what the problem is. Just send me an email and Danny at, you know, business affairs at Disney knows me. I send him the letter and boom, it comes back. Email. That is not my photo. So they've been attributing it to the wrong photographer for decades. Next, I send out my email to all the different archivists and say, copy them on this. And it was like ticker tape. What the, you know, WTF and what's happening? How could this be? And so while they're doing that, I took out I sent an APB to my usual suspects, all the men that knew Walt, the three or four of the most helpful. And boom, Marty Sklar, that just right passed away, wrote to me and said, Marcy, I set up that photo in August 1966. It's one of three photographers, all of which would have been hired by Walt. So that means now they own it. But then now I'm telling them that they're completely freaked out. But archivist needs a lot of points of, you know, of confirmation. And then my intern, Jim Cora, I call my intern, he said it was Rene Boudreau Rene Bardot, and he confirmed it. And so as a result, my editor said, that's the cover, because I unlocked a mystery, an asset that's worth gazillions of dollars. And it was his last at Disneyland. Wow. It was August 1966, but his last photo was at Epcot, doing a movie for Epcot at the studio.
And now your favorite number, and what significance is there to this favorite number?
Well, I knew this even before I started the book, but my favorite number is 13, and I always knew that it was Walt's, but I was able to prove it. And
caller number 13, 636-1350, will win the first copy of this book to be given away, really.
Unless you come to Copperfield's
on Tuesday night to meet Marcy. Caller number 13, 636 1350. Continue.
And so with the 13, I believed in it so much, even my contract ends with Disney and $13. And everyone was like, my agent, the business affairs, like, there's a mistake. There's no mistake. I want it to end in 13. So I set this forth in the beginning. But it's known that the address for Disneyland, a lot of people don't know it, but it's not unknown, is 1313 Harbor Boulevard. Walt's train and his home, his caboose, was 13. He was married on the 13th. And when I saw the 13th that he was married, I started thinking, now I see those 2 points. And the 1313, he was a huge patriot and, you know, 13 original colonies. But so I tried to prove, because these all these archive people, that Walt chose that address, 1313. A lot of people do believe that, but they don't know why, other than it's his favorite number. The reason why is M is the 13th letter of the alphabet. So 1313 was for Mickey Mouse.
What a story.
Yeah.
Have you told that story before?
Well, you're the first people ever to hear it, because I kept that story really quiet and never talked about it. But I'll tell you, the family members, the daughters who cooperated with me, they were with me on a panel, and they said, oh my gosh, Grandpa loved numbers. I cannot believe it. So while I can't say it's, you know, for sure, I have to say this is what this offer thinks. Trust me, I know. And that's why my contract ended in 13. And that's why caller 13 is going to get the book.
Caller number 13, Eat Like Walt, The Wonderful World of Disney Food, Marcy Smothers. Thank you for joining us. You can meet Marcy and get an autographed copy this coming Tuesday night at 6 o'clock.
7 o'clock at Copperfields, Montgomery Village.
It's going to sell like wildfire. Mm-hmm. You're going to be known in every country of the world, Marcy.
Oh, my gosh. Steve.
So, and next picture of you will be with ears, right?
I should have worn those today. We should all thank you guys so much. It means the world to have had my first Eat Like Walt interview on the Good Food Hour.